Verwerka?
Here.
Wall Chamalitz?
Here. Well, welcome everyone. And it's always, it seems unreal this year that we're, it's already January 12th and the Browns are still playing football. And we're not talking about who's there going to be their draft picks and everything. So I don't know about you, but that's the most excited I've been was Sunday night watching it. I thought I was in a dream.
As somebody stated, two wins from the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and it seemed like we've been like eternity away from a Super Bowl, which we probably still are. But anyways, so welcome everyone. We're going to start with the legislation that's on second reading, ordinance number 2020-106. It's an ordinance, the first revision of it, accepting the proposals of GPD Group and RCU Architects, Inc. for professional services in connection with improvements to City Hall and the Community Services Center security. And Chris, I don't know if you want to take and comment here, or you and Dennis, just give us an idea of a little background on this.
Dennis was talking with GPD to get the study and to see where our plan was going to be. Dennis, do you have the headline on that?
I see it's amount not to exceed, well, $66,000 for GPD Group and $5,000 for RCU Architects. Oh, there's Kathleen. Welcome, Kathleen.
Thank you. He's going around in circles.
I don't know if Dennis is muted.
Dennis is having some issue with his speaker. Let me go tell him.
Because Dennis talks to them one-on-one, so
sure,
it's a lot easier for him to.
I know that the objective is for them to provide construction documents with RCU's review and approval so that
correct.
We can go out bid.
Correct.
Maybe I can fill in until Dennis is available.
It wasn't working.
He's going down the hall.
Yeah, if you want to sit there, I'll,
I see Vern is abdicating his position there for Dennis.
Okay, well, Dennis is, if he's prepared, if not, I'll fill in the blanks until he gets.
You know, Mayor, yeah, I'm here now. I'm in Vern's
okay.
office.
Go ahead, then.
Okay, the project is that, you know, we've kind of added the Civic Center to be included in the security improvements and update to the campus. So it's, you know, City Hall and the Community Services Center. GPD is going to design and write specifications for the project. This will include all the drawings that we can submit to get permits for the project. They will also do the bid documents for the project, so we're able to put this out for competitive bids. It's kind of unique, and it's just, you know, there's a lot of specialized work that will be done here that will involve IT work and so forth. And I think that their expertise is important to have involved. After the project comes back from being bid, they will assist with the review of the bids and interpretations, just to make sure that what we're asking for is what the various contractors will, you know, supply. And throughout the project, they will also assist as, you know, kind of like a quasi-project manager. At the end of the project, they will be involved with the closeout, which involves putting together a punch list, you know, once again, you know, ensuring that the materials and equipment that was installed was, you know, first rate, and it was built, you know, according to our desires and wishes. Then further down the road, in the 11th year, they come back and they assess the project to see if we have any warranty claims or anything out there to ensure that we got the most value for our money. You know, GPD has a great deal of experience working with schools, municipal buildings, courts, and so forth. So I'm, you know, I have a lot of confidence in their ability to assist us with the project. You know, I will add that we added RCU Architects or Norm Cassini to this. He will be involved in a small part, but just to ensure that the original intent in building design and the character that, you know, makes Independence what it is and makes Independence recognizable will remain in what the recommendations of GPD aren't in conflict with the original intent of the buildings for both City Hall and Community Services.
Yeah, he was the architect in both buildings, right, Dennis?
Yeah, yes, that's correct. You know, City Hall is 4 years old, the Civic Center is 30 years old. What GPD will do, they'll ensure that, you know, we get things back, you know, up to code. You know, not that we would be required to do it because we're more or less grandfathered in, but, you know, I think it's, you know, we want to be a premier community, and I think it's something that, you know, if we're going to do it, in the past we've always done it first class, and I think this is, you know, what would be expected of the, you know, the citizens of the, you know, the city.
And Dennis, what's the timeline for this once we get everything done? We're looking to get this done by, say, late summer or so, or?
Well, we sure have, you know, the plans, you know, within probably 8 to 10 weeks, and then we can put it out for bid, and, you know, hopefully we would be able to start the project, you know, in the summer with, you know, council's approval.
Yeah, because we're looking at getting this at the time because of the COVID and everything else to get this done before there's more traffic from the residents and the public and everything to get these projects done.
Yeah, GPD does know this is high on our priority list. It was one of the things that I, you know, talked to him about because the mayor said, hey, look, if these guys can't address these issues, you know, immediately and they're not available, you know, we should look someplace else. But GPD assured me that they would have the manpower to commit to the project. You know, as I'm looking at their proposal here and said, you know, 4 to 8 weeks, they'll have schematic designs available and specifications ready for the bid process. So,
if I might interject, Vice Mayor.
Yes, yes, Mayor.
Only because, look, at this is we have a building that's going to be 40 years old, and we have a civic center that's going to be 30 years old, and it's all about safety and security. And in terms of City Hall, it's in terms of Civic Center, it's all also meant to create some possible additional amenities such as a central receiving area, a canopy over the drive-through for safety for our seniors. Also, I just want to make clear that this will be done incrementally. In other words, I want council to be aware of the proposals and before we go to bid, before we go to that phase, I want a Public Buildings and Lands Committee meeting to make sure that they're involved with this process so that when we do go to bid, everybody's on the same page, or at least everyone is aware of our goals. And so this isn't something we're just gonna, like a road job, we're gonna put it together and put it out to bid. This needs all the brain power we can muster up. And so what I propose is that when we get some schematics available to review, which would define the intent for security and safety, we will bring in Public Buildings Lands. Once they sign off, then we'll proceed to the next phase with specifications and ready for bidding.
Mayor, if I might add, GPD will be able to provide us with some cost estimates that they feel would be pretty accurate, just so going, you know, after we have the drawings, we have some numbers to, you know, share with council. And just that, you know, I know that this is something that, you know, citywide we want to do, and anything that GPD recommends, they, you know, will make sure that it's something that is scalable and it will be able to be used throughout our campus.
That's in terms of securities. So anyway, in addition to that, we want to make sure that the fact that these buildings are aged like a fine wine, I'd like to think, that we will be looking at the various protocols and some of the issues relative to safety relative to protocols and procedures that are different than when the buildings were built originally. There are new protocols, safety protocols, that we'd like to incorporate as many as feasible into these existing buildings.
Very good. Any other questions for either Dennis or the mayor?
Just one.
Yes, Jim.
Thanks, Mr. Vice Mayor. Yeah, just out of curiosity, this was something we had not talked about prior, but we just did get the state of Ohio to help us with the kitchen project. Do we want to wrap all of these into one proposal while we're ripping things up, rip them all up? Or
Absolutely. I think it's important because the two can work together, and I'd love to incorporate that. Since it's a grant, and that'll be, we won't be able to hold on to that forever. I think the timing is perfect, if council would agree.
Oh, definitely.
Well needed.
Yeah.
So we will absolutely incorporate some concepts into that initial discussion, and we'll bring it back to council.
Very good. Any other questions? We'll be voting on this legislation this evening. We'll move on now to ordinance number 2020-130. Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you.
That's an ordinance amending chapter 1363 of the codified ordinances of the city of Independence relating to fences, walls, and hedges. And I see Mike is here, and Mary, you're proposing this. This was already, we already had first reading on this. Any further comments, Mike?
This is revision one. We took out the requirement for the survey and adapted the sentence that talked about the fence being allowed in being installed in a location allowed for maintenance without entering an adjoining property.
Very good.
So basically, members of council, we're basically adding statements where the city's not approving, we're not responsible. But our goal now is going to try to bring, if someone applies for a fence, my vision would be to have somebody from the city meet with the property owner and the neighbor to make sure that they both agree or at least understand what the intent is. And if the neighbor challenges the location of the property line, for example, then the onus would be on the property owner requesting the variance or the fence to find those property corners, and then we could proceed with the next step. So basically it takes the city out of the position of being, well, you approved this, or you should have known, city, where the property line is. No, we're not going to be responsible for that. And this just adds clarity, and it gives the public, anybody making that application, the opportunity to understand what's expected of them. And like Mike said, we're not going to demand the survey. That'll only be needed if, in fact, there's a disconnect between the neighbors.
Any questions from council?
No, but I feel that that's long overdue. It's a very uncomfortable situation for Mike, the building department, the person putting the fence up, and the neighbor when things don't work out the way they're supposed to. So, and it gets a lot of people involved that really shouldn't be involved. So I think the mayor's doing the right thing by changing this legislation, and I approve of it 100%.
Very good. Any other comments or questions? We'll vote on this legislation this evening. The next item on the agenda, ordinance number 2020-139, I'm suggesting we remove that from the agenda. And Vern, I think you'd suggested that maybe we make that a topic of a finance committee meeting, which I would like to do before we approve it in February. So Ken and Dale, especially, I got a couple of dates in mind here. There are Wednesday dates. With my son's basketball season full go, there's only a few people allowed to sit to all these games because of COVID and everything. I was hoping that we could have our finance meeting either January 20th or January 27th, or if we need to have it on a Tuesday, have it prior to Planning Commission on February 2nd. So, Dale, if you and Ken can look at your schedules and the rest of the council, we'll schedule that for, and I'm looking at 4 o'clock for all those dates.
Excellent. That's fine with me.
Yeah, this way we'll have a good, thorough review, and I would hope all of council could attend. So this way we'll hash it out. We're not going to get the perfect. This is not set in stone. This is a living, breathing document, which we, based on circumstances and based on opportunities may have to, again, change from time to time. We may want to push some things off like we have in the past, but this will give us a good chance to review it thoroughly as it sits now, and then if any final changes need to be made, we can suggest them and be able to vote on February, if that's okay with everybody.
Excellent. Thank you.
Dave, do we want to pin down the date now quickly?
If we can, this way everybody knows. Like I say, the next two Wednesdays after tomorrow, the 20th and 27th, are both wide open on my calendar for a 4 o'clock meeting. Or if we meet before Planning Commission, if we can meet like at 3:30 on February 2nd, that's Groundhog's Day. If anybody
Mayor, are you good on a Wednesday afternoon?
Yeah, I'll adjust to anything that Tuesday before that Planning Commission, we're going to be here anyway. So that's if we can do a 3:30 on that one, if that works.
Okay.
Is that okay with everybody?
Sure.
Very good. Well, let's set that finance
what's
committee.
What's the February date? The 2nd?
It's February 2nd.
Yep.
Okay, let's set that for 3:30 on Tuesday, February 2nd, prior to Planning Commission. And get that, Debbie, too? Of course, yeah.
Okay.
And if that becomes a problem for someone, we can look at the other two either, if you find out. But now we're saying 3:30 on the 2nd, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Everyone on council?
The options.
Does that look good?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, Mayor, looks like then we'll set that in. Again, this will not be voting on ordinance 2020-139 this evening. They'll be removed. So we move now to first reading, ordinance number 2021-1. And it's an ordinance authorizing payment to the Division of Water for the annual fees for use of water from the city fire hydrants based on the total number of hydrants, which I had read from Dennis's memo to be 858 hydrants. And the cost is not to exceed $26,000, that is. And I believe, Vern, from you have $32,000 appropriated for there, at least in this category.
Correct. And we upped this dollar amount, $26,000, because when that initial invoice, or not the invoice, but the water department's going to use as the invoice, Chief Riga just had a little discrepancy with their hydrant count. So he added a few hydrants, and that's why we added a nominal amount just to make sure we're covered. And if the bill happens to come in over $26,000, then we'll just come back to council with either a motion for another couple $100 or whatever the difference is.
Okay. But this is routine. We always, I think, have this on the January agenda. So we'll vote on that this evening. Council, put this on a consent agenda. Very good. Consent agenda, Debbie.
Okay.
Ordinance number 2021-2. And that's an ordinance authorizing the city to enter into various memoranda of understanding with the Cuyahoga Soil and Water Conservation District for educational technical assistance in carrying out Clean Water Act responsibilities for 2021 related to NPDES rules. And again, amount not to exceed $32,000. Don, I'll let you take this over. You work closely with this group, I think.
Yes, thank you, Vice Mayor. Yeah, this is an annual memorandum that we enter into. They've been with us every bit of all the years that I've been here. They do a very nice job with helping us to achieve our requirements under the stormwater program. They do things very cost effectively because they perform those functions for so many different communities. They're able to be very efficient and cost effective in those, because all communities are responsible to maintain the system and meet these requirements. So we're very pleased with their service, and they've come on occasion to present to the Utilities and Sewers Committee and give us updates. I don't recall the last year that happened. I think it was a year or two ago, but they're always happy to do that. A couple years back, Councilman Trakas, yep, that sounds about right.
And I believe, Don, they're only $500 above last year's amount total, I think.
Correct, yeah, nominal increase. And Northeast Regional Sewer District has is lately has agreed to fund the full $6,000 value, and that doesn't come out of our community cost share allocation. It comes out of the overall stormwater utility program, so that's a nice benefit. And that wasn't the case. We still had to do that or pay for that ourselves, but they've expanded service and costs to help communities.
I think I noticed that in your memo, as well as Jan Ripka's memo, had suggested that we be reimbursed.
Mm-hmm.
Does any of the $26,000 get reimbursed, or is this the $6,000 part?
The $26,000 is eligible under the community cost share, so it's we could seek reimbursement for it. We just have so many other irons in the fire.
Oh, yeah. But the $6,000 is?
The $6,000 is, always.
Very good. Any questions for Don? And we'll put this on the consent agenda for this evening. Okay. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Don.
Thank you.
We'll be hearing from you, I'm sure, quite a few more times. Ordinance number 2021-3. This is an ordinance authorizing the retention of South Shore Utility Locating, Inc. for protective services relative to the city's underground conduit system. And I guess this is related to that OOPS program, when people are going to be doing some digging here in town as far as our underground utilities go. I guess this contract goes from March 1st of this year through February 28th of 2022. And I believe the proposal is for $18,000 down with a $2,000 contingency fee, I believe.
Correct, and that's identical to the contract that was in place last year.
And they came heavily recommended by the company there on Pleasant Valley, I believe you said.
Yes, initially a couple years ago, yes, that's who recommended them, and we've been using them ever since.
I see. Any questions for Don regarding this contract? Again, we'll put this on the consent agenda, get that approved tonight.
Thank you.
Or voted upon. Ordinance number 2021-4. It's an ordinance authorizing the retention of Donald G. Boning and Associates, Inc. for professional surveying services in connection with Maple Shade Cemetery. And that was, I guess, discussed thoroughly in the Buildings and Lands Committee meeting last month. And Don, I don't know if either you or Chris want to comment further.
Yeah, Mayor, at the committee meeting, it was an agenda item regarding the future Shade, and it was discussed and recommended by our landscape architect Jeff Markley that a comprehensive topographic and location base mapping survey would be very beneficial and helpful to create a master plan and to really perform a lot of the planning and even the detailed design when the time comes for any extensive improvement there. So it's we think it's something that needs to be done early and will be forever benefit from it going forward.
Vice Mayor,
yes, Mayor.
God is correct. It's really the first step, a number of steps that were discussed at the Public Buildings and Lands Committee meeting in order to create, like Don said, a baseline to give us and present at that point, we'll be able to present options, burial options, opportunities, and costs, whether it be a column burial wall or a variety of different suggestions. But I think the first step is let's get our baseline established. We'll know what property we have. We'll know what's available. And then once we have that, we'll be able to then drill down on the various options for future burials.
Thank you, Mayor. And Don, you said that we had received two proposals, I think, and Boning Associates were the best one that you feel for the city.
Correct. Yeah, I believe we received one other, did solicit two others. We received one other proposal, and I believe it was in the amount of $24,000-$25,000.
Very good. And Vern, I believe from your notes, we do have an outstanding purchase order from 2019 that will be able to fund this.
Let's see. We're on 04. Yes, 2019-00139.
Very good. Well, this is hopefully quite a bit of work, Chris, that your committee will have this year and get us moving to the next phase as far as Maple Shade Cemetery is concerned. So,
yeah.
And this is, like the mayor said, the first step in that process. So,
yes. Long overdue.
Yes. Any other questions for either Don or? This will be, my understanding, will be placed on the consent agenda. Any opposition to this? We'll be voting on this legislation this evening. Ordinance number 2021-5. Again, another one out of your committee, Jim, utilities. At least you're the sponsors. Ordinance authorizing change order number 4 to the city's 2020 Creek Utility and Infrastructure Maintenance and Repairs Contract with Geotech Services, Inc. And they're honoring, I guess, their 2020 unit prices through the end of this year, Don. And it was part of the bid when they made the bid last year.
Correct, Vice Mayor. This one and the next 3 or 4 are all very similar in the maintenance contracts, authorizing a one-year extension.
And this allows that you're working with them with the same companies, and we have the budget at least for now set, and everything allows you to work with these companies and start planning with Jim's committee on some of the work that'll be done here right off the bat, so we won't have any kind of delay. Again, this is the amount not to exceed $200,000 for this particular for Geotech, and total amount not to exceed $632,072. I do note from what your memo, Don, you said that having these two contracts like this with them, and then the next one with CATS is allowed the city to, what, $92,600 savings, I believe. Can you expound on that a little more?
Sure, yes. So when these emergency culvert projects became, we reached out to these two vendors and were quickly able to, because of the current contract mechanism in place, we were able to solicit prices from both contracts and compare. We gave them a general baseline of the scope and the mission that we were looking for, and all the particulars of the project, and two different prices were submitted and significant differences, and utilize and reap a value both to us and for a resulting resident who was participating in one because of the assessment project.
I see. So and actually we can lump 2021-6, similar type of legislation is dealing with CATS Construction, who had received the other half of that contract last year. Have we used CATS on a number of these then this year too? Because I noticed a lot more money spent towards Geotech, who we've had for a number of years.
Correct, and I think that speaks to some strengths and weaknesses of the two different companies, and the large lion's share of Geotech's contracts were those very, they received both those culvert authorizations. The slope stability and soil failure there in the business district on East Pleasant Valley. So a large amount of those dollars represent that higher dollar contract value.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Vice Mayor, if we'll have a little time, maybe Don wants to just share the status of those contracts, I mean, those jobs, and the success we had.
Very good.
If you could just take a moment and just elaborate on both of them, because I think Councilman Trankus and I shared the opportunity of the thought of assessment projects, as was enunciated by several other councilmen at the beginning of this term. And so I'd like to have him just give a just brief narrative, because I think we want to use that same format in future projects on some of them where it's appropriate. Don?
Mm-hmm. Sure, Mayor. Briefly, the first project that became an urgent matter was the one on Patriots Way. It wasn't the assessment project, but critical in our business district off Rockside Road. And that one we were able to get performed quickly at a very significant savings between the two vendors. That was also the one, if you recall, Regional Sewer District participated and provided us a cost of almost $40,000 to $50,000 towards the overall improvement, which was, I think, was just over $80,000. And that one went off real nice without a hitch. And it was a challenging project, very deep. And it was convenient to close traffic on that Patriots Way. And it was really a nice project. And we think it'll provide a long service life now for that culvert. And then here more recently, the East Pleasant Valley 4902 was a unique scenario, a large diameter culvert under a single family residential driveway for a house that sits well back off the road and has a pretty decent size watershed and stream running underneath the driveway. And that was the first project where we utilized this current mechanism of the contract and participated in a joint public-private partnership project that I do believe was a significant value for the residents, allowed them to really just allow us to step in and provide recommendations to make the improvement, and then allow one of our trusted vendors to come in and perform a very nice, efficient, quick, cost-effective improvement that will also, I think, extend the service life of that culvert in a very long time. So that project went very well. One to 2 weeks worth of work, and we just recently were out there assessing the concrete driveway. We do need to follow back up with some concrete repair because it was another challenging project and deep, and a large machine was needed to reach down to those depths to remove the pipe and install the new one, repair the embankment. And of course, the 4-inch concrete driveway was just overtaxed. They did a nice job to protect as much as they could, and I think they did a great job, minimized the damage, but there are some panels that do need to be replaced, so that work will take place in the spring. But the residents seem very satisfied with the work to date.
Again, that's having these two contractors under contract gives us flexibility and saves us money.
How is that project going on lower Pleasant Valley, the business district there? I know at least last week they had a lane blocked off, and they were working on there.
Yeah, Vice Mayor, that project is pretty complete. The wall went in. Well, it was pretty much done late in the year, and in between the holidays, they were wrapping it up. The guardrail was installed here recently, and some temporary seed and straw was placed. The grading is complete. Project is by and large complete, but for final restoration, which will be done in the spring.
Very good, because that was a troublesome. I mean, we were worried about that possibly collapsing if they hadn't gotten to it.
Also, Vice Mayor, if Don, you want to, those of you driving past Quarry Lane, see the exposure of the curb lane there. And I asked Don, why are we doing it right now? When Don, you can explain to council so that they drive by, they get questions from everybody. So maybe
mm-hmm. on that. Okay, sure. Yeah, Mayor and Vice Mayor, that and members of council, that catch basin was on our radar for a while now. The top curb plate had failed. You know, it's a tight radius and a lot of heavy traffic, buses and larger vehicles making deliveries to the hotels and restaurants and gas station have occasion to routinely run over that structure, the drainage inlet. And it was in disrepair and it needed to be fixed somewhat of on an emergency basis. One vehicle, we were notified that one motorist had did some damage to their vehicle. So it was really an urgent matter. And when we looked at it hard, and the mayor had suggested that while we're there, we try to make an improvement to the conditions. And we called OOPS and got utilities marked, and we were able to pull that radius back, move that structure, physically removed the catch basins that were there, push them back upwards of 3 feet. We were able to gain to widen that radius. So now those, and put brand new structures in with new castings. And that work was actually wrapped up today and backfilled. Cats Construction's concrete crew will come in as early as tomorrow to start prepping to pour back a small portion of the roadway that had to be removed, pour back the curb, and then also the side. Luckily, we had some plenty of right-of-way there on that Bob Evans corner, and we're able to utilize the space to regrade the area, pull everything back, and I do believe it's going to be a nice improvement, permanent improvement, not just for the catch basin repair, but also for the condition of the radius for turn movement. Larger vehicles making that turn.
Very good. Now, thank goodness the weather cooperated with that, but that's, I'm glad it's done, because you hate to see vehicles get damaged by a situation like that.
So Don, if they pour, they prep and pour, quick set, when would traffic be able to be on there if the weather holds out?
Yeah, we think it could be opened back up Friday, at the end of the day Friday, or for sure Saturday for the following coming work week.
And you have the traffic, only cars can only go in at that entrance, right, Don? There's no traffic coming down. They have to go down to Rockside Woods.
Correct, during the workday, but when the workday's over, they steel plate the curb, and then it's back to normal traffic flow in the evening and overnight.
I see. Yeah, I happened to see down there when I was going to Pop Evans last week for lunch. Any questions regarding this? But this, it seems like both 5 and 6 here, and we're going to get to ordinances 7 and 8, it just allows, Don, allows your department and the city to move forward with the current vendors and be able to get a lot accomplished early, and you're not waiting for things to be bid out or for, you know, for any interruption there with the work that needs to be done. You have a question, Dale? I think, Kathleen, you might have one too, so Dale, you go first.
Okay, I have a comment related to, Don, appreciate very much your report on the work that's been done. I just wanted to kind of comment related to that. I know since the COVID began, we've not had the department heads provide their reports at the council meeting. And I really, you know, I really enjoyed hearing Don's report with what's been going on. And I do miss those department head reports. So I just wondered how the other council people feel about having missing out on the opportunity to hear the reports from those with the directors, Don and Leon and police, fire, and so on.
Anyone? Well, the one thing, Councilman Verka, that we've had because of Zoom, it's been, we've had so many committee meetings that a lot of the department heads are, they believe that they're being overly transparent with information, only it's done through committee meetings rather than just one little snippet of what they do. But we can look at it a variety of different ways. The goal is to give more information than less information. I haven't heard it from anybody else that's complained about not getting enough information.
I think, Mayor, we do. I think council as a whole would like to have that old format back where each department kind of gives statistical information. I know, Don, you do that on a regular basis. And Mike, you have all your permits and everything else that you issue and that. And we usually got a weekly total, again, with the police department and the fire department, too, on the calls they have. And that, and I found it beneficial. I would compare from week to week and even month to month and just kind of use it internally to see what is being done. And we've been lacking that information for about a year or so. Mayor, you started, we had that information for many years prior to that, but I don't know if it's too much overtaxing the department.
No, yeah, I agree, but that's not an issue. I'll just, department heads, are you paying attention? I'm having fun right now.
No, yeah. I mean, we appreciate all the work they do, but this kind of, I'm kind of a statistical nut anyway, so I keep track of these things and kind of see from the, how busy or how not busy we are in different areas, it's just good to get to know, you know, Tommy, you let us know what's going on in the recreation world, and we get a community services count. So I find interesting, for example, telling us how many meals were served for that New Year's Eve lunch. That's kind of nice, because people ask us, hey, is this still popular or not? If we have that information, we're able to dispense with it to the residents too. So
absolutely, we will put that together and start forwarding it to council.
Yeah, I think the format is already in place from years ago, so they just have to start using that again. But
sure,
we do appreciate that, because, you know, we're the biggest promoters of the department heads. Appreciate the work they do, because the better work they do, the better we all look and everything. But if we don't have the information, sometimes people are telling us before we really have the information. So
okay, we'll put that together and distribute it.
Thank you, Mayor. Like I say, can't have enough good news or news of the work that our people are doing.
Sure.
Well, Mayor, you're talking about the weekly reports, correct, for the administrative update?
Yes, like you give, well, now of course your thing shut down with before COVID, you would tell us how many kids were, or for what's going on at the field house, and a full in your area, and each particular, Mike would tell us what's going on in the building department, how many contractors have been registered, and all that information. I think it's interesting information.
I think what happened was, with all due respect to the department heads, last year was such a unique situation, and a lot of things were suspended. No excuse, just that it wasn't flattering in terms of a lot of the information. So I think they put their attention in some of the safety issues, focused on the safety and the hygiene and the safety of our fellow employees and those residents that still were able to utilize some of our services. But I believe it's a new year. So ladies and gentlemen, there's been a request made, and we'll fulfill that request.
Any other comments from council in that regard?
I think Kathleen had a question.
Oh.
Or Ken.
Yeah, thank you. You actually got answered, but to speak to this last point, I too agree. If it's not too onerous upon the directors, it is very interesting to us, and it does help us sometimes when we get questions from our residents. So thank you.
Sure,
for that.
Absolutely.
I just wonder
if this might be a topic we could spend a few minutes on at our January caucus or round strategic planning meeting, whatever we're calling it. The department head reporting and kind of the flow of our meetings, and just sort of have a roundtable discussion about that in a different setting than what we're at right now.
Oh, that sounds good, Kate, because I know Kathleen suggested that too. So again, if you have individual ideas of topics for that strategic plan, please email me so I can put together an agenda for us to have. So get some ideas together, Senator. We won't be able to attack everything, but I know the mayor, we talked about a few things we wanted to discuss too, and we'll put a robust agenda together, which
for
3 hours, it'll go fast.
Great idea. If you could share that with the vice mayor and myself, we could expedite trying to frame this up, so that'd be great.
Very good. Thank you. So we'll put 2021 5 and 6 will be on the consent agenda tonight. We move now to ordinance number, actually we'll take 2021-7 and -8 together too, because it's the same scenario, I believe, Don. This 2021-7 is a change order number 1 to the city's 2020 sanitary and storm sewer maintenance and repairs contract with the United Survey, and that's for an amount not to exceed $100,000 and a total contract amount not to exceed $300,000. And then the same thing in 2021-8, but the company CMK Industrial Services, and again, to not to exceed $100,000 for this ordinance, and in total $300,000. If you can discuss a little bit on these two ordinances.
Sure, Vice Mayor. Yeah, this pertains to our sewer maintenance contracts. Last year, if you recall, we got out of the gate a little bit late on these two contracts. In essence, July was when they were authorized. So because the contract completion date was December 31st, they really were only 6 months complete. So this contract extension, I think, is completely warranted for another year because of that. And also something to take note of, that 2021, the annual budget allocation for this program is $200,000. So we really are splitting. We're trying to be respectful of the amount, splitting that two ways, each $100,000 each with those vendors.
Was there any money expended from these contracts last year, Don, that you know of?
There was. It wasn't significant. I don't recall specifically. I can tell you, up in the Dalebrook subdivision, because of the flooding, we had C&K out there looking and televising, trying to mitigate some conditions there that we've been challenged with over the years. Sporadically, we've had both companies in to do small amounts of work in the 6 months that we were under contract.
But so we have a good part of that $300,000 that each got is still available this year.
I do believe so, yes.
Very good. Any questions for Don regarding ordinances number 2021-7 and 8?
Vice Mayor, if I could go back to this 21-5 and 6 and ask Don.
Sure.
What consists of unit pricing on the creek maintenance? Because no two jobs are the same. So what's the unit pricing? Like in the concrete, you can, you know, it's so much a square inch or a square foot or however they price. But in the creek maintenance, how do you justify the pricing when no two jobs are the same?
Well, so the menu of pricing, Councilman Narduzzi, the menu of pricing for those contracts is kind of unique, but very functional. So it was always geared heavily to drainage work. So while we have generic bid items for contractors to cost out, we have various style catch basins, and we generally tell them 3 to 4 foot deep. Storm sewers, we have 12 inch diameter conduit, 18, 24, so we give them a variety of different conduits and generic footages for contractors to at least try to be able to competitively bid those units. We also do have, though, realizing that a lot of work is undetermined, and even when you get to a job, because of the unknowns, a lot of it we don't know what the scope of a job even is until we dig things up. And in that instance, we rely heavily on time and material type of hourly rates for machinery, equipment, men, laborers, supervisors. So that we, in our bid menu, we have unit prices for labor for those sort of units. So that's how we bid these jobs out, and those are the unit prices I'm referring to that are honored for the second year.
All right, thanks, Don.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for Don? So again, we will put on the consent agenda both ordinance 7 and 8. We move to ordinance number 2021-9, and this is an ordinance authorizing change order number 1 to the city's 2020 concrete road maintenance and repairs contract with Katz Construction Company, Inc. And this is for an amount not to exceed $400,000 for a total contract amount not to exceed $779,868.50. And I believe, Don, from your memo, I guess a lot of last year's contract is used up with the Shaft Road project rehabilitation.
Right, and, all of it, most all of it.
And they agree, again, to the same unit prices as 2020 for the one-year extension to the end of 2021.
Correct. So all the work that was identified in the 2020 program is what we'll be marching towards and completing this year under this, with this contract.
You said that as far as the Shaft Road, there's still a little bit of work that needs to be done in the weather, break in the springtime for that.
Correct. The final asphalt surface needs to be put down. We ran out of time and weather, but right now it's kind of been winterized, and it's functioning pretty well, and there's really no too many problems that we're contending with over the winter here that for the top inch and a half, I believe, is the top surface course.
I see. It's been long overdue. That area is really 100% better with just what's been done so far.
The catch basins, look like the catch basins. We just finished those.
Yes.
The curbing looked good. And it looks like a nice project.
And the, if I may, Vice Mayor.
Yes, sir.
Council's correct. We have gotten nothing but positive feedback from the people in that area. Bennett, for
that. And I believe, Fiermeyer's down the road, that section of the road will be done the same way. I believe to extend that all the way to the end of Old Brecksville.
Correct, Vice Mayor. I do believe that's in our five-year capital plan for next year or the year after to do some very nice improvements, storm sewer improvements, water potential. Yeah, water main, I believe, is very bad on Old Brecksville, so major infrastructure projects.
Yeah, that area's been really overlooked for a long, long time. So it's hopefully we just got a little development go down there in the next few years, and we'll really get things moving in the Cloverleaf area.
We're on the same page.
Yes. Yep. So we'll put this on the consent agenda unless there's any objections from council. We'll put 2021-9 on the consent agenda. Finally, we have ordinance number 2021-10, and it's an ordinance approving the final plat and acceptance and dedication of South Great Oaks Parkway and Acacia Court for the Chestnut Woods Section 3 Subdivision Phase 6 for the development of the, and I guess these are the final 13 residential single family lots in this development. Boy, it seems like unbelievable going forward. When I first got on 2000, to where we are now 20 years later. It's almost the completion. But Don, I believe in your memo, Planning Commission did approve this August meeting in 2019, approved a final plat for dedication of South Great Oaks Parkway and Acacia Court. And then the following month or 2 months later in October, council had authorized that also. But this is finally putting the, we're going to keep this on first reading, but finally next month we'll have the final approval.
Vice Mayor, yes, we're working with Pulte and the private utility companies. Dominion East Ohio still has to put the gas main throughout the development, and we anticipate that to happen in the next few weeks. So while that's happening, we're going to work with Pulte and with Greg O'Brien's office to make sure that we're getting all our ducks in a row regarding the development agreement commitments and a lot of the things that we require before we formally accept and dedicate the public improvements.
Yeah, Vice Mayor, this just for members of council that don't sit on the Planning Commission, the one that council approved a few years ago was for record keeping purposes only. Mm-hmm. Just by the way, Pulte financed the project or didn't finance it, the bonds it did or did not submit. And this one will, once council approves it, this will trigger their requirements to submit a 2-year maintenance bond and start the clock ticking. We just don't want to do that prematurely because it's our benefit until the project's complete to make sure that we have an accurate final completion date and filing of this order.
Very good. Now, they haven't been selling lots, babe. They can't sell them until after this gets all done, right? Or have they?
I believe they've been...
I didn't know how that worked.
Purchase
never buying a brand new house myself, so I see.
Yes, they're chomping at the bit. It's been very robust sales. People the independents. They just want to be the last ones.
They might be able to contract out with some people to build homes, but I doubt that they could transfer title until this is filed.
Mm-hmm. Well, if everybody noticed on their tax bills, they got, if you looked at the tax rates, there's nobody lower than independents at this point. We're the lowest ones, even lower in Caga Heights and Brooklyn Heights and Valley View.
Until you go to the second column. On the real value, you're correct.
Yeah. But other than those few communities, there's nobody that's even in the ballpark.
No city.
Very good.
Well, again, is one of those attractive features to locate in the city.
Yeah.
So the Pulte's done a real good job of marketing. Now, a couple things we're working on. We still have the disagreement over the homeowners, the HOA, and we have some challenged conversation going on between the original owner, the HOA, different groups trying to consolidate a solution to deal with some of the call them assessed fees. Would that be a more appropriate, the fee structure and responsibilities for the green space? And we've had several situations where trees from the green dedicated conservation easements have found their way onto private property and vice versa. And try to navigate through some of those. It's always interesting and finger pointing. And so I believe there's a pending lawsuit that is trying to be resolved. So you may play some role if they have to.
You're correct, Mayor. You're correct in everything. Yeah.
No. Maybe I'll just say this ordinance will be kept on first reading. And hopefully everything gets in order to can approve it next month. But other than that, Mayor,
there are a couple things as information fillers for council with these subdivisions. We've got that existing situation that they've run the periphery of that. Maybe Greg, you want to enunciate a little bit more in terms of where we're at with that HOA situation.
Are you talking about with the Perico Properties, Mayor?
Yeah, Perico Properties, the conservation group.
Yeah, I mean, the issue is now when the permits were pulled by the engineering department and the original developer, there was a request based upon EPA guidelines. I don't want to get too far over my skis and turn it over to the environmental lawyers, but that there are certain swatches of land had to be conservation easements, that no additional building or sheds or anything could be developed. And so at that time, West Creek Preservation Society was tapped to be the steward of the conservation easements. And in return, based upon the agreement, the city didn't have much involvement here, it was Perico and West Creek, is that West Creek would receive a $20 annual fee from each sublot, which I do not know if that's ever been charged, but it's certainly in the declarations. And also, West Creek would receive on every transfer from a homeowner to another homeowner, would receive a 0.0015 of the purchase price, which would be paid to West Creek to recoup all their costs. The homeowners association feel that in some of this may get some traction with city council or others, that the steward responsibilities of West Creek is not that great to substantiate the transfer portion of the resources that they receive every year. I think during one council meeting, in a very, very liberal calculation, it's somewhere, if 10 or 15 houses transferred each year, it's like $7,500 to try and put it in a, you know, perspective for city council. And the homeowners association has said that they would like, one of the big issues is they would like to control the conservation easements and have that money available to the homeowners association, because they are aware, and it's been discussed, that some of these earlier detention ponds will eventually start to need to be cleaned out. And we're just monitoring it. The city is not a party to it. And the city's been approached by the homeowners or the West Creek's attorneys about they're in discussions. They didn't really provide much detail, but they wanted to know just conceptually where the city would be at in a certain degree. And I provided that issue, that information to the mayor, but I think that's as much as we know. And I don't think we're certainly not in the information stage with any of the parties to intimate to council what those settlement discussions are in great detail.
So Greg, was I correct in hearing you say that if there's a sale of property from a current owner to a new owner and everything, that West Creek would be entitled to 0.0015 of the proceeds?
Yeah, it's either 0.015 or 0.0015. It's around a $400,000 house, whatever that number is, it comes out to about $450.
You know? Yeah, because I just did a $500,000 house with that for it. $750 it came out.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Okay.
I could just speak to this issue for a moment. I happen to have some friends at West Reserve Land Conservancy who deals with conservation easements, and I've had a lot of opportunity through my...
Go ahead, Ken.
Sort of thing. So conservation easements, there's a provision in the tax code where if I, as a property owner, want to place a conservation easement on my property, I essentially sign a paper, it gets recorded with the county, and I get to take a charitable deduction with a diminution in the value of my property that happens because I put this conservation easement on. So Perico Properties presumably got some sort of tax deduction for placing this conservation easement on the property. That conservation easement is perpetual, forever. It never ends. And someone has to enforce that for all eternity. And that's this West Creek Land Conservancy. That's their job, is from now until the end of time, make sure nobody builds on that property, that they, you know, don't, that it's not encroached upon, that nobody doesn't go through and clear cut all the trees. They have a perpetual obligation to protect that property for conservation. And so how do you fund that perpetual obligation? And that's where you get to these stewardship fees that are built on the sale of a property. And now the homeowners association still owns that piece of ground. All that West Creek Land Conservancy has is an obligation to protect it. So when it comes time to maintain the ponds and whatnot, that's still on the home. I would guess still on the homeowners association's back to fund that and figure out how they're going to pay for it. All West Creek does is make sure nobody builds on it or disturbs the natural condition of the property. But if I were a homeowner there, I wouldn't like the thought of having to, you know, pay this fee on my way out of town for something. So yeah, it's a convoluted, difficult situation, but it has a lot to do with the tax law and a perpetual obligation of West Creek Land Conservancy.
Yeah, Councilperson Sebag, I would agree with what you said. The only difference in this unique situation, unlike other ones, is for whatever reason, because I wasn't part of that resolution with West Creek and Perico, but the conservation easement is actually in the name of West Creek. And so it's my understanding, again, this is very, very taken with a grain of salt. I'm not part of the discussions. It's my understanding that one of the issues that the West Creek would like to resolve is if the homeowners association are going to take, you know, some of this fee, that West Creek wants the property be in the name of the homeowners association, which I agree with you, probably should have been the case originally. And then the other stumbling block is nowhere in the conservation easements are any of these detention areas. So those are 100% at the feet of the homeowner association.
All the money.
Was it 18 months or 2 years ago, Dave, that we had a couple of meetings with the HOA, right?
Oh, I remember that, yes. Yeah, 3 years ago now? I believe so, yes.
We've had meetings with the HOA since its inception.
Yeah, I mean, the issue really will be for the administration and eventually, ultimately, council decision is, you know, do you ultimately want to put the stewardship, for lack of a better word, in the hands of the homeowner association? Put aside the monetary aspect. That's another business decision. But, you know, who's going to be responsible? You know, homeowners associations sometimes go defunct. And who's going to look out to make sure sheds and we are looking into the environmental aspect of the sea based upon these permits, whether or not that change can even be made legally.
So you can see that it's a moving target at this point. We're just trying to keep the family sport, so to speak, because we're inundated by the homeowners, by Pulte, by West Creek, by the former original owner. Everybody keeps trying to place a burden on this moving target. And I just don't want to end up with the City of Independence.
Right.
Because in the meantime, the older detention ponds continue to age.
Right. So, again, the only thing, Don Ram, just to make sure that I don't forget, there are half a dozen issues that such as they were less than adequate in terms of how they managed some of the previous phase landscaping that were public, like routes to get to the detention ponds. Now, are those detention or retention?
Most of them are always full of water, so they retain water, so the retentions. There may be one or two that actually drain dry and just detain the water for the short period of time, but mostly full.
Now we all know the difference.
Yep.
And so I my point is, Don, is that between the mailbox issue, the landscaping on these, retention pond easements, some of the safety issues of traffic, speeding, we've tried to address those by placing some of our officers and some of our signs to inform people before we enforce. And it's work. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But those are, and the mailboxes, the safety issues with respect to them. We're not going to we're going to put individual mailboxes on this phase six. And the reason being is that we cite safety as being a concern, and we believe we have some jurisdiction over that. And that the homeowners have outlined to delineate very clearly some of those issues. You can drive on any street there and you will witness the U.S. Postal Service delivering mail to individual houses, because the old traditional method of just having to put letters in a mailbox, that's outdated with this new economy, this new faction of the economy where now Amazon and everybody else is delivering packages. And so who's one of our largest suppliers? The post office. So you drive down any street, and particularly in this subdivision, and you'll see them there on a daily basis dropping off packages that won't fit in the mailboxes. And it just as far as I'm concerned, you know, they want it delivered to the house for safety reasons, and yet our homeowners are having to deal with something else. So between landscaping, mailboxes, donut issues, Don, I'd like to, and some of these landscape issues that have reared their ugly head relative to these conservation easements, I'd like to at least have a clear understanding and a meeting with Pro Pulte so that we're on record for clearing up some of these outstanding issues. As far north as the latest one where the gas line is exposed, sewer line is exposed into the old original neighborhoods, we got to make sure that there's the fencing to protect the kids from the landscape erosion along some of that creek. There's just a number of things that need to be outlined. If we, I don't know, Greg, do we have to take a bond on that from them or some other way of ensuring that they're going to take care of these things?
Well, we got to look at the agreement, Mayor, but the bond is usually the preferred method.
Well, let's hope we don't have to get in that situation, but Don, if you could just make sure we put all those issues together and then we get a meeting and then with Mike and yourself, at that point, we'll just lay the cards on the table that they have to pay for these upgrades and repairs. And if the city's going to do it, then we're just going to back charge them if that's what we have to do through our own personnel or our maintenance contract.
Anyway. Mayor, I was going to
say, yeah, go ahead.
On a different topic, everything, has the auto thieves, have they returned this past week or two? I saw a few things on Facebook saying that the people that protect their autos, that these that same maybe group or at least somebody like them, they're going around stealing autos like at 4 or 5 in the morning.
I think, Chief, if you've addressed it at the safety committee, maybe you want to enunciate at least, fill in the blanks in terms of where we're at, some of the most recent development.
Absolutely. We did change our patrol patterns and techniques in response to that, and we have kept that up even though they were dormant for a while. Over the last week, there were 2 incidents, but because we had officers immediately in the vicinity, no thefts were committed, and we actually got in 2 vehicle pursuits with the suspects. One of the vehicles was confirmed as a stolen car. I believe it was out of Sagamore Hills. Both of them, when they left the city, got on the interstate and started driving at such a high rate of speed, the supervisors called off the pursuit per our pursuit policy. But it's a combination of our residents taking it to heart and locking up their vehicles and securing it, and our officers maintaining a highly concentrated presence in the neighborhoods. You know, those were 2 incidents where we were able to at least get them and chase them out before they were able to victimize any of our residents.
Chief, along that line, if I may, Vice Mayor.
Sure.
Maybe you can update council terms of where we're at with the cameras?
Certainly. Members of my staff met with the people from Flock Public Safety. Their chief engineer came out. They toured the sites along with somebody from Tech Services who's responsible for the power hookup. We've got the site map for all the locations mapped out. We've confirmed that we do have power available to all the locations we need it. And we've got a comprehensive plan that blankets those key areas we spoke of with the cameras. Flock Public Safety should, in this time of year, the only factor is the weather. If we don't get any inclement weather, they should start the installation process within the next 2 weeks. And installing all 31 cameras should take less than 30 days. So, hopefully within the next 45 days to 2 months, we'll be up and operational with the entire network of cameras.
Would you, at least 2 months then, Chief, give yourself a little latitude.
I'd rather be optimistic about it, Mayor. I'm very anxious to get this initiative up there and put it in the hands of the officers on the street.
By golly, Chief, when you give those weekly reports to council now, remember what you just said.
That's right.
Chief, Mayor, along that line, council, I've sent a letter to civil service asking them to do 2 different tests for the police department, so to fill some of the vacancies and also look to the future based on potential retirements. And so we're going to do a a new hire list and a lateral list. So they've been authorized that in the police department. Fire department, Chief Riga has one more page to turn before we go out for the new hires on that. We're going to look at that and explore if there's some of these, another lateral move opportunity there, or excuse me, a new hire from our existing list. So we'll look at those as we turn the corner on 2021 and so prepared.
Very good. Dale, do you have a question?
Yeah, quick question for Chief. Among those 31 cameras, are some of them on the Pleasant Valley exit where we have so much of the residential areas?
I believe that was one of the initiatives, was to get that area camera. We can't put them right at the 77 intersection because we don't own those signals. ODOT does. But what we've been doing at the interstates is we've been putting them on city-owned poles that are in close enough proximity that they capture everything that comes through those intersections.
Right, but those are part of the 31 cameras?
Yes, I believe so.
And Pleasant Valley, yeah, and then Rockside and Granger.
Right, right. Well, the biggest emphasis I have related to the Pleasant Valley is because that's the area that that's a huge residential area there. So that would seem potentially to be a good area to protect. So, yes.
Mayor, I've been getting a lot of, take matter of fact, I can afford a couple to use. A lot of the residents want to know that, you know, if the city's going to be involved with the vaccination, you know, of the COVID vaccination or anything. I think you spelled it out that we're depending upon the county health board to make that decision.
Yeah, and Chief Riga, we had the second drive-through event 2 weeks ago for safety forces. The first one was for flu shots. It was very successful. It was the county under the umbrella of the county. This one also had county participation and driven by county. So I think they view us as being an opportunity to be effective in terms of efficiency. And Chief, I think Riga, if you'd want to further explain the latest data that what we're going to be faced with in the near future.
Sure. Well, we met this afternoon on Zoom with the county fire chiefs and the county board of health. They advised that the vaccines are kind of trickling into them. They requested over 4,000 recently, and they only got 1,000. So it's hard for them to plan ahead on some of these vaccination sites because they don't have the vaccine to actually distribute. So the supply isn't keeping up with the demand in a sense. They advised us that they were going to continue to work through the 1A groups that need to be vaccinated, and then they'll move on to 1B. Aside from that, the state is actually distributing vaccine to hospitals and pharmacies, which will start the initiative of vaccinating other people in that group the state put out, being your residents that are 80 years and older and so forth that fit other groups. So it seems like as far as vaccinations go, they're going to be handled by different groups for different folks at different times. So that's kind of where we're at with it. The planning of these vaccination sites is very tough for the county right now because, again, of the supply. But as those come available, they will continue to put on these events. That said, they did put up a site where you can register to get notified of when you're able to get the vaccine. So we're working on a way to get that out to residents so that they can at least get their contact information to the county where they can get notified when it's their time to register.
Right now, by the way, to talk further what the chief said, that you can go on our homepage right now, and you should be able to register with the county on our homepage for the links to the county COVID registration should be on our homepage.
Yeah, it's a simple app, if you will. You just you go in, you put your name, you put what group you're with. It could be somebody from that 1A group or 1B group, but it also outlines people 80 years and older, 75 to 80 and so forth. So you put your group in there, and then you just add in your contact information. If you have a cell phone, they'll text you, email, and they'll contact you that way, and then it'll go from there. So it seems to be a good way to keep track. But I think they've got nearly 25,000 registered already, is what they reported to us.
Yeah, Chief, I think I see a couple councilmen looking at their homepage right now to confirm what I'm saying, so
that's okay. Is this right? I'll get a shot bar in 2025.
No, you know what? I've learned so much in terms of the logistics of just trying to put a program of this magnitude in play. I mean, Israel, they're doing everybody, but and if you don't, if they have leftover vaccines, they take people in and take them right in rather than waste them. Because of the protocols of the, you have 6 hours to utilize once they take them out of the freezer, and they have, so all these things, the logistics of getting the shot, having to sit there for 10 or 15 minutes afterward and keep the masses going. It's an amazing undertaking that we're embarked upon as a world.
Yeah, keep in mind, this started off in Shaker Heights. They did their first vaccine event. They were only able to do like 320 or 340 people. Our event did over 400. The next event did 600. So now they're up towards to 1,000 people in a single event that they can vaccinate. Now they've looked at other models of pretty much like the H1N1, where they actually brought people into a building to do it. But they really feel at this time that that's not going to work as well with COVID-19. Obviously, the social distancing component isn't there. They went back and looked at it, and if you can recall how bunched in everybody was at the time when we did that particular inoculation, so they're really having to work through those social distancing issues and how they could best dispense this medication. So right now they're looking at a hard location over at the county fairgrounds, but they still are meeting to discuss other options. They do have a meeting on this Thursday with the state to work out other details on the distribution, so we hopefully know more after that.
Yeah, some of these smaller countries are using arenas and fields and some of these large warehouse areas to convert into a COVID distribution. So we have a major undertaking, every day it seems to be there's a moving target. So all we can do is just keep doing the best we can. Our safety forces are the county, the state, and the federal government. They're trying to deploy as quickly as possible.
Chief, are they all the Pfizer ones, or are they a mixture? What are you getting?
Well, I can't speak for what's going to hospitals and pharmacies, but the county's been getting the Moderna vaccine.
Oh, good.
And you know, you're right. Most of the hospitals, I think, are going with the Pfizer. But as they become available, they're going to go with whoever can apply.
Yeah, one thing's for sure. Whatever you get, your second shot has to be the same product. So that's really important.
Is that second shot 2 weeks after the initial shot, I believe?
I think it's different for both vaccines. In the case of the Moderna, it's like a minimum of 28 days. It can probably be longer after that, but I don't know the details on that. I think the Pfizer, I believe, is 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
So they're very close, but I don't know the technical reasons for that, but that's what I've heard so far.
Are you given documentation when you get the vaccine as to which one you're getting, so you know the second time to get the same one?
The County Board of Health, to my knowledge, has been giving everybody a piece of paper after you get the vaccine. It tells you when you're eligible and what you've received and what you should get next. So I think they will ultimately be in contact with you when you're eligible to get the next one. But that could be different for each. You know, a hospital might do it different, a pharmacy might do it differently. It really depends.
They also give people a information on what's called the SafeV program. And I don't know for sure whether the government is handling this or whether it's being handled by the drug manufacturers, but it's another way to collect data on the people who've gone through the vaccine, how they're responding to it. And it's kind of a daily thing for a while, and then it goes to weekly. And then I think it possibly even extends out several months thereafter. So that will be helpful to have some more follow-up data, because now, of course, we know that the indication is that this may become an annual thing even. We don't know. So if they have that kind of information, I think it could be helpful for future inoculation should they prove necessary.
So, Chief, we don't even know, to follow up on Councilperson Kathleen Kapusta's statement, we don't know if this is going to be an annual thing like the flu shot, or is it like one of the vaccinations you get when you're a baby and you get it one time and you're kind of good for life or for a decade or two or something?
No, that's exactly right. We do not know that yet. I think what I'm hearing right now is that they believe it's going to be good for a year to 18 months or probably 2 years, but I don't think they know for sure whether this is going to be something that constantly changes, like this seasonal flu that needs to be reformulated every year.
Thank you, Dr. Riga, for enlightening us this evening.
I just will say, too, and I know there's been a lot of speculation about whether to get it or not. I would say absolutely 100% that you should get this vaccination. Aside from that, if you have other medical issues that you know that you've had issues in the past with vaccines, then it's a conversation for your doctor, your personal physician. But outside of that, I've been advised there's nothing really different than this vaccination material than there is in any others. So I would recommend that everybody consider getting it strongly.
Yeah, there's just it's a tough situation to try to advise. I get calls, people are asking me all the time what to do. I said, you know what, if you have an opportunity to get it, I would recommend getting it, because I've seen too many people deal with the effects of not getting it or not having it available. It creates, we don't even know the long-term impact on the, some of the aspects of virus, but be assured that like a light switch going on or off, it's not going to go away that quickly.
We just heard at our Kiwanis meeting last night that we had a few Kiwanians who were affected with it, and a gentleman by the name of Mike Costanza, who was the attorney general for the state of Ohio for Kiwanis, died from COVID at the age of 70.
What a nice guy, too.
Very nice.
What a really nice guy. I know my dad really liked him a lot. It's a shame. It's a shame. But there are a lot of tough people are dealing with a lot of tough situations. I mean, give our safety forces credit, because they're dealing with some really tough situations within our community recently during this whole COVID situation that you don't read about, you don't hear about too much, but there's a lot of things going on that really forces us to drill down deeper on our ability to stay focused on our mission, because there are a number of distractions. But the fact is, we're blessed in this community. I mean, we are truly blessed to have the public servants that go out every day and do the business of the people in the city of Independence, whether it's picking up the rubbish, going on a call to safety issues, trying to create programs that keep people motivated, keep people engaged. And there are a lot of unsung heroes here that work for all of us. But every day we make progress. Every day we make a difference in people's lives, and that's what our purpose is. So, how much longer do I have to talk?
Well, Mayor, I have a question. Has the number of meals been affected by the price going up from $3.50 to $5? I
looked like today they had a huge throng picking up the lunches. So that really didn't have any kind of a negative effect as far as the number of lunches going out.
The numbers aren't going down.
And
you know what? You get a full range of opinions as a result. I'd like to think, and I could tell you based on the correspondence, the inflow of correspondence, the majority of people that say, hey, thank you for the program. Council, thank you for the program. Thank you for funding the program. And the vast majority are appreciative of the initiative. You get a few that, very few complain about the price, but we used to do that when we were $1 for snowplow too. And there's the more the feedback, other than the appreciation and the thank you, is, hey, no problem. It's still a good deal. It's still a great value for me. And so, again, I think most of them are very appreciative. I know they're all appreciative, and they value this opportunity. Remember, it's not just the food. It's the getting them out of their environment, even for that segment of time where they have to come to the city. They have to. And they're very appreciative of council funding this program. Trust me.
And Mayor, make sure that they stay patient, because I saw a little road rage between cars going from one direction to another. Neither they're playing chicken, I guess. I said, boy, I think you can wait a few more seconds to get your meal and everything. But I noticed some fists. Yeah, they're waving fists at each other and everything. Yeah. So they're just telling be patient.
Misinterpretation was just exercises.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I probably better get back up there, because most of them don't give me a hard time.
It looked like the old Italian salute that I saw.
Well, yeah. Maybe that's what they're saying to me as I drive by. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I misinterpreted. But no, seriously, the vast, vast majority really appreciate the initiative and the fact that you're continuing the program. So,
Vice Mayor, to answer your question specifically, it was the old pricing because it was the Wednesday, December 30th, New Year's lunch, but that had the highest participation ever, 444 meals. Last week it dropped a little bit. First week, New Year's week, the 2 days last week were at 313 and 307, but this week it jumped back up to 376 today, and they're scheduled for 399 meals on Friday.
Very good. Yeah, because it seemed a lot more crowded today.
Yeah, we're getting it's I'm not sure how much longer we'll do it, but I can tell you one thing. There are a lot of people that there's all these tangential benefits of it that you don't see, that we don't experience it necessarily ourselves.
I mean, I've had seniors say to me the best part of their week is that's what they look forward to.
Right.
Yeah, not about the food. Just like, I got something on my calendar to do, they say.
You know, it's really funny, because when I go up there and I sit and talk to a couple, the ladies that do that program are phenomenal, by the way.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Such great personalities, and they do just a tremendous job of energizing the environment. The only problem is when I go there, they want to talk about things. Well, and that line gets longer, so I wave and say hi, and I drive around the opposite way waving to them, because I can't afford to slow that process down. That train's going to keep running. So, you know, and if one last funny note, then we'll get out of the council meeting. During the parade, when we passed out Santa, Santa and I were debating, trying to guess how many people would run right up on the curb when they were driving over to get their baskets, their little stockings, and coming over by Santa. And I'm so thankful, Tom, that we have a very soft curve in that area, because it's so funny when you watch these people climbing up on the curb. And it's them in their truck, so it's okay, but it's one of those moments you can laugh a little bit. So. Anyway. Hey, guess what? It's 7 o'clock.
Very good. Well, I end the caucus, Mayor, and hand over to you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Vice Mayor. Thank you, members of council. Thank you for going through this agenda in a very comprehensive manner. So we'll start with the council meeting, and we have a council meeting of the regular council meeting of the City of Many Ponds of January 12, 2021. Clerk will call the roll.
Grindel?
Here.
Capusta?
Here.
Narduzzi?
Here.
Sinek?
Here.
Tracus?
Present.
Viverka?
Here.
Walchanowicz?
Here.
Okay. And we have, let's see, prayer by Pastor Joy Fenton Jones of the United Methodist Church. Pastor Jones, are you
Hi. Joy. Nice to be here. Thank you. If you'll join me in an attitude of prayer for a moment. Gracious God, we've entered a new year full of new possibilities. We're hopeful, yet we recognize the challenges that follow right on our heels. We appreciate the gift of a clean slate, yet we recognize all the work that must be done to resolve complex problems and heal old wounds. We know that you call each one of us to exercise different gifts, and tonight we see your call on the mayor, on members of council, on city staff, and on all the members of the community to share their gifts of leadership and insight and compassion. We recognize that truly gifted people often propose different solutions to complex problems, so we ask for patience to pervade, for cooperation in the midst of differing ideas, and for collaboration between those present. We thank you for the willingness of all those here tonight to serve this city, and we ask your blessing upon Independence and all its citizens, its visitors, and its friends. May all those who live here, work here, and spend time here experience welcome and warm hospitality. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. I really appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time. We really appreciate that. If there's anything we can do as a community to help you and your congregation, always free to let me know.
Thank you, Mayor. I appreciate that.
Okay, Council, do I have a motion to approve the Joint Utilities and Sewers Committee, and Streets Committee, and Sidewalks Committee, minutes of December 2nd, 2020.
Moved. Second.
Greg, would it be okay to read them all one time or no?
Yes, you can do them
all. Hold those motions then. And we have a motion in the Finance Committee minutes of December 7th, 2020. And the Community Services Committee minutes of December 7th, 2020. And the regular council meeting minutes of December 8th, 2020. Finance Committee minutes of December 10th, 2020, the public hearing minutes of December 15th, 2020, the special council meeting minutes of December 15th, 2020, public billings and lands meeting committee meeting minutes of December 15th, 2020. Do I have a motion to approve all of those minutes?
So moved.
I'm moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We approved all the minutes, and there are a lot of minutes. Thank you, Council.
Thank you, Debbie.
Thank you, Debbie.
Yeah.
And the reports will be submitted by the various departments, and we will add a section in our weekly update in terms of the data, a data section.
Thank you,
Mayor. Starting next month. Also, I'll submit my report. Basically, talks about the things we've talked about, either the update on COVID-19 and the coronavirus, and what we're doing for safety and security, and the steps we're taking for with respect to the new ordinance to make it better for us to facilitate relationships and property boundaries and requests for to the building department of fences, etc. So we recognize that this pandemic and bring it full circle, this pandemic is real. The fatigue is real. And so we'll just keep you informed and the people informed as to the progress we're making and making sure that people have access to the vaccinations. With that, let's see. Legislation. We have ordinance 2020-106.
Stay lonely.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
An ordinance revision one, accepting the proposals of GPD Group and RCU Architects, Inc. for professional services in connection with improvements to City Hall and the Community Services Center security.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Any questions on the adoption? Call the roll.
Grindel?
Yes.
Capusta?
Yes.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Sinek?
Yes.
Tracus?
Aye.
Viverka?
Yes.
Walchanowicz?
Yes.
And it's adopted. We have ordinance 2020-130.
I'd lonely.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
An ordinance amending Chapter 1363 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Independence relating to fences, walls, and hedges, Revision 1.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
Any questions on the adoption? Call the roll.
Capusta?
Yes.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Sinek?
Yes.
Tracus?
Aye.
Viverka?
Yes.
Walchanowicz?
Yes.
Grindel?
Yes.
And it's adopted. We have ordinance 2020-139. That's on second reading. It's been removed in second reading. Excuse me. Now we have we will now vote on a consent agenda items. Each item will be read individually into the record, and the consent agenda will then be voted on as a whole by one motion and roll call. There will be no separate discussion on these items. If discussions by council are desired on any consent agenda item, the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered in its normal sequence under the regular order of business.
Motion to suspend and read by title only.
Second.
On the consent agenda, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we have, go ahead, Debbie.
Okay, ordinance 2021-1, an ordinance authorizing payment to the Division of Water for the annual fees for use of water from city fire hydrants based on the total number of hydrants for Revision 1. Ordinance 2021-2, an ordinance authorizing the city to enter into various memoranda of understanding with the Cuyahoga Soil and Water Conservation District for educational and technical assistance in carrying out Clean Water Act responsibilities for 2021 related to NPDES rules. Ordinance 2021-3, an ordinance authorizing the retention of South Shore Utility Locating, Inc. for protective services relative to the city's underground conduit system. Ordinance 2021-4, an ordinance authorizing the retention of Donald G. Boning and Associates, Inc. for professional surveying services in connection with Maple Shade Cemetery. Ordinance 2021-5, an ordinance authorizing change order number 4 to the city's 2020 Creek Utility and Infrastructure Maintenance and Repairs contract with Geotech Services, Inc. Ordinance 2021-6, an ordinance authorizing change order number 1 to the city's 2020 Creek Utility and Infrastructure Maintenance and Repairs contract with Katz Construction Company, Inc. Ordinance 2021-7, an ordinance authorizing change order number 1 to the city's 2020 Sanitary and Storm Sewer Maintenance and Repairs contract with United Survey, Inc. Ordinance 2021-8, an ordinance authorizing change order number 1 to the city's 2020 sanitary and storm sewer and repairs maintenance contract with C&K Industrial Services, Inc. Ordinance 2021-9, an ordinance authorizing change order number 1 to the city's 2020 concrete road maintenance and repairs contract with Katz Construction Company, Inc. And that's it.
The council, motion to suspend the rules.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And a motion to adopt.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions on the adoption of the consent agenda as read by the clerk of council? Call the roll.
Grindel?
Yes.
Capusta?
Yes.
Narduzzi?
Yes.
Sinek?
Yes.
Tracus?
Aye.
Viverka?
Yes.
Walchanowicz?
Yes.
And it's adopted. We have ordinance 2021-10.
I'd lonely.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
An ordinance approving the final plat and acceptance and dedication of South Great Oaks Parkway and Acacia Court, Chestnut Woods, Section 3, Subdivision, Phase 6, for the development of 13 residential single-family lots.
And that will remain on first reading. If there's nothing else before this honorable body, then I'll entertain a motion to go to executive session for legal real estate issues.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. I will appreciate all those residents that participated tonight's evening. There will be no action taken after the meeting. And so at this point, again, we'll adjourn to executive. So we're going to adjourn and then reconvene an executive session. So with that, thank you, members. Thank you, members of residents of the city of Independence, for participating. Appreciate that. Happy New Year.
Thank you.